Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Loyalty, an industry podcast for loyalty marketing professionals. I'm Paula Thomas, the founder and CEO of Let's Talk Loyalty, and also now Loyalty TV. Today's episode is hosted by Amanda Cromhout, the founder of Truth, an international loyalty consultancy, and the author of the book Blind Loyalty, 101 Loyalty Concepts Radically Simplified. If you work in loyalty marketing, you can watch our latest video interviews every Thursday on www.loyalty.tv. And of course, you can also listen to Let's Talk Loyalty every Tuesday, every Wednesday, and every Thursday to learn the latest ideas from loyalty experts around the world. Just before we share today's episode, I want to ask you to sign up to the Let's Talk Loyalty email newsletter. Our email newsletter is by far the best way for us to keep you up to date with all of the latest incredible loyalty stories we're sharing each week. It's also the easiest place for you to find our show notes, with links to everything mentioned in all of the episodes. You can sign up at letstalkloyalty.com.
It's not very often we get the opportunity to interview individuals who've worked for an organisation that is 180 years old. Brett Cameron is Managing Director of Old Mutual Rewards. Old Mutual Rewards launched in 2018 and is the rewards proposition for Old Mutual Limited. Being at the helm for 5 years, Brett has been able to talk us through on many of the innovations, the milestones and the learnings. He talks us through the digital journey, some massive fraud issues they faced, a concept of financial wellness, and now their journey into retail banking. Last year, Old Mutual Rewards was recognised as a finalist at the International Loyalty Awards. Enjoy Brett's interview. He talks through how loyalty and rewards are really game changers in an industry like insurance and financial services. So Brett, welcome back to Let's Talk Loyalty. We have Brett Cameron, who is Managing Director of Old Mutual Rewards. Brett, thank you for joining us again.
Hi, Amanda. Thanks so much for having me. It's fantastic to be back.
So frighteningly, it's 3 years since you were last on the show when you chatted to Paula. It was episode 106, and that was in May 2021, and we're now in February 2024. So what's most exciting about that is we've got 3 years of development in Old Mutual Rewards to ask you about. So before we get into that, because I'm a particularly big fan of your program, as you know, but before we get into that, I want to ask you the famous Let's Talk Loyalty question. What is your favorite loyalty program?
Aside from my own, that is. There's so many out there. one I'm a big fan of in the South African market is the Checkers ShopRite Extra Savings program. And yeah, it first crossed my radar when we were doing our initial research. And at that point, they, as a brand, so they didn't have a loyalty program, and they were never going to have a loyalty program. But their customers thought they did, and it stood out as a real lead in terms of doing things digitally. So when Checkers and ShopRite relaunched their program, I think 2 years ago now. Once again, they kind of really did some amazing things when it came to building kind of really great digital experiences. And I find myself often quoting and using them as an example or a case study or for some of the fantastic things that can be done for customers.
Absolutely. We've actually had Meredith on the show. She was fantastic. She really shared with the listeners exactly what the strategy is behind Checkers Extra Savings and ShopRite Extra Savings. So it's great that you've chosen them, because we've highlighted them on the show as one of the really great programs and strategically very, very sound. So yeah, absolutely. And as you say, their digital transformation, not only in rewards, but as a as a South African brand serving Africa and the digital journey they're on is super impressive. So thank you. Yeah, great that you've chosen Checkers Extra Savings. So before we get into what I think is one of the most exciting rewards propositions to share with the global audience of Let's Talk Loyalty, let's find out a little bit more, Brett, if we can, about yourself, because you've actually held the reins of Old Mutual Rewards since the day it started. That's correct, right?
Yeah, over 5 years ago. And it's been an interesting journey. I think many of us land up in loyalty as a career by chance. And it's been a fantastic one to be part of, yeah. So I actually started out working as an actuary in an insurance company. And over the years, I guess I've tackled a few experiences that have become relevant to running a loyalty program. I've spent quite a lot of time working in our distribution and sales channels, where I was kind of creating and building the incentives to encourage the sales and distribution staff to work more effectively. And then from there, I moved into a role where I was looking at customer retention. Well, that's one of our objectives when we talk about in the loyalty space. So I think somewhere between those experiences, somebody thought, hey, this guy knows something about the skills we need to run a loyalty program, and they asked me to do it. And it's actually been a fascinating journey. I've learned so much through it. And I rave now to my colleagues that I think I've always got one of the most exciting, one of the best jobs in the company, because there's always a new challenge. There's always a new thing to think about. It's a fantastic place to work.
Yeah, and I think the loyalty role, actually, in most organizations can probably say the same. You know, you're juggling so many conflicting and yet exciting plates that are spinning. But let's get into that in a short while. So I think what will be really useful for the listeners of Let's Talk Loyalty is a little bit of background, if you can, Brett, around Old Mutual as a company. I mean, it's been around for a very long time. It's extremely established in the African market, an incredibly impressive organization. So before we unpack Old Mutual Rewards, could you tell us a little bit more about Old Mutual and its positioning and how long it's been, super established in not just this marketplace, but Africa?
Sure. So, Old Mutual is very well known in South Africa and I think across the African continent. It's over 180 years old. It was founded in Cape Town, which was in 1845. So, very long, well-established company. Started out as a life insurance company back then, but over the years, it's developed into a very broad financial services company that serves all parts of the South African market. It doesn't just do insurance these days. It does lots of savings and investments. We have banking products. We work with retail customers. We work with corporate customers. We play many, many roles in financial services in the industry. And over the years, we've expanded to levels overseas and drawn back. Currently, Old Mutual is mainly focused on Africa. We've got some operations outside of Africa, in particular in China, currently. And at times we've actually operated in Europe, North America, South America, all over the globe. But very focused on building an African financial services powerhouse at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is a powerhouse. Like, it needs certainly no introduction in this market. So thank you for that. Oh, I don't think we've interviewed anyone on this program, on this podcast, that's 180 years old. I can't say that factually is 100% correct, but that's my gut reaction anyway. So let's jump straight in, Brett, if we can. So Old Mutual Rewards launched in 2018. So I remember you last year celebrated its fifth birthday. So it's no longer a new kid on the block. It's well established. I think when we judge long-term loyalty programs, we look at a minimum of 5 years. So that's a good benchmark. So please explain to us all how it works. I think I find it a fascinating program proposition. So I think please share with everybody how it works, how many members, and what are the big milestones that you've come through since 2018?
It's quite hard to build a a loyalty program around long-term insurance or life insurance, where you pay a premium maybe once a month. You maybe speak to your financial advisor once a year or a couple of times a year if you're lucky. And it's quite a low engagement type of industry. But for a loyalty program to work, it needs to bring in my mind, or it needs to bring sort of a more high frequency, high touch interactions. Otherwise, you don't have that repetitiveness of behavior that really gets customers motivated and engaged. So after a lot of thinking and speaking to customers, we built our program around helping them with their financial well-being and their financial wellness. And it was something that stood true to our brand. It was something that Old Mutuals stood for in our markets. It's something we really support our customers with. And our customers trust us in terms of their not just to provide their products that we take out, but actually beyond that, to help them with their financial future, helping them realize their financial dreams, their goals. So that was almost a natural choice for us. And it then also led to us saying, oh, okay, financial wellness isn't just about speaking to your financial advisor and buying an insurance product. It's about all the day-to-day things that you need to do to get into a better financial position, learning more about your financial situation, educating yourself, using tools to help you do things like budgeting, getting more insight into what your financial needs are, setting goals for yourself, working towards those goals. So there was an endless list of behaviors that we could link into the program that brought in a lot of that engagement lens that we were looking for.
I mean, I particularly love the non-transactional activities that you have in the program, into exactly as you just said, around the financial wellness. I mean, we make a big feature of that in the chapter on non-transactional rewards in Blind Loyalty book, the loyalty book that you've supported. So, because it really is unique the way you've done it. And I think we're going to unpack that in a short while. But you said when you started that you've been at the helm for 5+ years and that you've learned an awful lot along the way. And I'm sure you have. So give us one or two of your biggest takeouts of what you feel you've learned that we could share with others who are listening to this.
Sure. Again, I think what I know now, I think it would be fantastic to go rewind 5 years and try and do things differently. But I remember, sure, one of our first experiences was also working with partners. We brought partners into our program for a similar type of kind of rationale, as we wanted to make sure we brought sort of joy and excitement to our customers. So financial services are quite serious often. And we thought the rewards program could play that role of actually kind of balancing out the seriousness with a bit of frivolity at times. And even just being able to spend your points with something else and adding them to your insurance product. But but when we started bringing partners in the program, we approached quite a number, and the conversations were very short at that point. It was like, first question was, how many members do you have in your rewards program? And we'd say, none, we haven't launched yet, but perhaps this big organization, or Mutual's got 5 million customers, and we're going to do amazing things. And so we'll come back and speak to us when you've got a few more customers on your rewards program. So it was actually very hard to establish those relationships with partners, but it's kind of what I've learned. It's kind of just sticking to it, keeping those engagements up. The doors eventually open, and the opportunity is to collaborate with other brands has been sort of really fantastic as we've seen the growth. It's now getting to a point where partners often come and knock on our door. In fact, I seem to get a couple of emails a day. Can we talk about a partnership here and a partnership there? I think we're also fortunate to work. You've been very much part of this, Amanda, to work in an industry in South Africa where the loyalty brands are starting to talk to each other very actively. So there's a lot of partnering going on. And I think the industry is an interesting space where the partners are looking at doing interesting, brands are looking at doing very interesting things together beyond just saying, oh, can I create a little bit of extra value in your part program or give out your customers a bit of a discount. I think the deals that we're looking at are going a lot further than that. They're looking at how do we strategically create value for customers? How do we collaborate on things behind the scenes, like data insights and things. So I think that's one learning for me, is just talking about patience with partners and sticking it out. Another one that I think has been important has been the importance of that engagement and customer experience. And it's so important to the success of the program to just really distinguish yourself on how you interact with your customers and every interaction point to make it delightful. It leads, I think, to some very hard choices. So sometimes you're a bit constrained by the experience you'd like to create because of practical what the systems allow, or what the partner's customer journey is, or whether you've got all the data you need. And the more I sort of worked with our program, I feel that we probably could have been a lot more strict with ourselves about accommodating some of the kind of exceptions that got what we wanted to do from a proposition point in, but it's not always come with a great customer experience, and making sure that we do things in the way that really make customers just feel wow every time they interact with us is something that we want to hold strong.
And obviously to do that, you have to have a solid systems architecture to pull that off, because you know, so much of what you try to put into the marketplace, as you say, you can't always do what you need to do, or you end up doing something that matches the value proposition but gives a clunky customer experience. But describe to us, Brett, the systems architecture that you have in place to actually pull off the mutual rewards program.
Yeah, so that's an interesting journey for us, and I think it starts a little bit within Old Mutual, that many people running financial services companies, I'm sure it's true in many other industries as well, as we start with a huge range of different systems. I think somebody counted just the number of administration systems we run in Old Mutual at one point was definitely more than 20, 30 or so. And you've got customers who exist on different systems. You don't necessarily know that the customer on one system is the same as the same person on another system. Can be a really messy environment. So I think one of our advantages in setting up our program, Old Mutual Awards, is that Old Mutual had been developing its customer data maturity for quite a long time before we even started thinking about Old Mutual Awards. And so there was a single place we could go to find out who the customer was and what interactions they had with Old Mutual and what products they held and things. So that was a key enabler for us to get going in the first place. And then I think it was working with a good partner on the loyalty platform side. We went through quite an interesting journey of choosing a platform provider. My kind of experience in South Africa at that point is looking around the market. Many of the players have built their own loyalty admin systems in-house. And that was one of the advantages of coming to the game a little bit later, is that there were off-the-shelf loyalty platforms that we could purchase and set up and get running. And
yeah, absolutely.
We ended up working with a Polish company called Comark, and their loyalty platform has been well-recognized, well-used globally. And coming from a Eastern Europe side of the continent was appropriately priced for us in the South African market. So
very fantastic.
I think they've also been a key part of our success, getting things
going. I am very aware of the relationship, your partnership with Comark. I mean, I don't think Comark is any stranger to the listeners of Let's Talk Loyalty. They're very involved in so much of the loyalty world globally. So thanks for sharing that. You did mention to me when we chatted before that you've managed to expand into new markets relatively simply because of the multi-country capability, multi-tenant capability. So that's great. You know, as you say, over time, you've been able to look at the marketplace, realize maybe you didn't want to build it yourself, get an external partner that's become your partner and working close partnership in this journey, and then be able to expand quickly because of their capability, which is really powerful to understand. So talking about expanding into different markets, so you have ventured pushed Old Mutual Rewards outside of just South Africa and also different customer segments. So it might be worth sharing that. I mean, it's a bit of a potential nuance just in the South African market, the extremity of customer segmentation, but in terms of affluence. But maybe it's worth sharing with us, Brett, a little bit about that, the new countries you've gone into and your customer breadth you've been able to attract through the program.
Yeah, so let me talk about the countries first. I think that's a very short journey so far. And we just took the first step on that at the end of last year by launching the All Mutual Rewards program to Namibia. And as you said, it was something that was enabled a lot by the Comark system. It was important to kind of extend the program as cost efficiently as we can. Our businesses in Africa are often small businesses, or in the case of Namibia, it's quite an established business, but it's a very small country.
Yeah.
And the amount of investment we can afford to make to set up a new program in each of these countries is limited. So we were able to do that with Comark. Comark system accommodates sort of, I think, what they call multi-tenants or multi-country type programs. And within the space of a few months, effectively, we were able to get a similar version of the program up and running in the Namibian market. And I think it's a really exciting milestone. They're not that many loyalty programs running in Namibia.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be an interesting opportunity for us to actually really solidify our position in Namibia and the relationships that we have with our customers there. So we'll see what the future holds in terms of other countries in Africa. We're definitely keen to pursue others when the opportunity arises, and hopefully build a Pan-African rewards program in the future.
Yeah, fantastic.
But you know, to come to the other part of your question around customer segments, it's also an interesting journey for us. I think spoke about Old Mutual being such an established financial services company in South Africa. We, as a result, deal with everybody in all walks of life, from somebody who's very low income to some of the highest net worth individuals in the country. And yeah, it's difficult to build a rewards program that's can serve the needs of such a broad range of customers. I think that's been something we've gone about fairly deliberately. So when we started, we said, well, let's not try to be everything to everyone. Let's focus on a core audience of customers and make sure that what we build resonates for that group as much as possible. And then over time, we've added to the proposition and extended the capability to make it more and more relevant for more and more of our customer base. And then another market that we've been thinking actively about is, and we are getting asked often when it comes to financial wellness, is extending to people's families. Can we help with their kids or their teenagers? What we did last year is identify a particular audience that's we know is a good market for purchasing insurance. And we know that when people have children and new babies, it's often the point in the people's lives when they think, oh, I need to put some life insurance in place and start saving for their future. And so we built a proposition that targeted new parents specifically and connected with some partners that could give them some additional value. created a very simple enrollment process. We built a few things to really engage them as an audience. One of the things we did is create a special zone for new parents in a shopping mall that our mutual owns as one of the sort of side parts of our business. And so you, as a parent, you can come there and you can get a space to feed your baby or to get some support if you need it while you go shopping. But I think the really interesting part of it is how it's really just engaged a very useful part of our market. And with a very simple proposition, we've created lots of engagement with customers at that point in time where it really just works. And we've then introduced these customers to our solutions and our life insurance, and the sales that we've generated have been fantastic. So based on the amazing success of this, we're looking at seeing what more we can do to really engage this market of customers in the coming years. We call it our Mutual Rewards Baby Club, by the way. So it's hopefully going to be something that we'll build a brand around over the next year or two. One of the things we find ourselves thinking about is it something where we want to bring in more like random rewards? Do we think whether we want to give all our customers sort of 100 points for a certain activity, even if they can't do that much with 100 points? Or do we make it a little bit more lumpy so that some people might get nothing, but one in every 10 customers gets 1,000 points instead of 100 points each, which maybe they can do a lot more with. And maybe that will be more relevant for those type of customers. So interesting value dynamics for us to think about. And then the other one is how to get the engagement going with the customers at that end of the market. We've started our Mutual Rewards as a website-based program. And we've developed a mobile app over time, the last few years. But what we've found with our lower-income customers in South Africa is they tend not actually to want to download mobile apps onto their phones. They tend to buy more limited devices or less storage space, and they don't have space for downloading multiple apps. So the adoption of mobile apps has actually been a bit of a constraint.
Yeah.
So last year we started building just some of the redemption options out on our WhatsApp channel. And we've been amazingly surprised by how well that part of our market has started using WhatsApp as their primary channel of engaging with us. So that's something we're looking at building out a little bit more into the future.
This is such a hot topic at the moment. I mean, I've just done a webinar actually about WhatsApp in loyalty, and it really is getting fantastic traction in different brands. And it's great to hear you say that as well, Brett, because I think I don't know if it is as widely used in all markets. I know in the UK and Europe, it's definitely not used as much as we're experiencing it here in South Africa. As you said, you're getting the response, you're getting engagement, and we're seeing a lot of other brands say the same. So I'm really, really pleased you've shared that with us. You did share a lovely stat, if I could repeat it, with us when we were just chatting about today's interview. And you said when you started, you had 100,000 customers of your total database of millions of customers, and now you're up to 50% are using digital channels. Is that, have I articulated that correctly?
Yeah, as our mutual. Our mutual's been traditionally a very financial advisor-based business. Most of the customer interactions were through financial advisors. I think over time we built up call centers and people tend to phone us still to this day. I think we got rid of most of the fax machines. There might be one or two fax machines around, but we're very keen to work with customers digitally. It's a modern experience. And I think it's been one of the successes of Mutual Rewards is that it's played that role for the broader organization to get customers to engage with us digitally. So, and one of those steps was to get them to create basically a login profile where they could log into our systems. When we built the rewards program, we deliberately didn't use a different login system to the rest of the company. We had one shared set of credentials. So when you join the rewards program, you're automatically unlocking all the other digital servicing channels we had available to our customers. And yeah, we started up, when we started on Mutual Rewards, on Mutual had about 100,000 users who could access our Mutual digitally. And now, yeah, I think it's about 50% of our Mutual's broader customer base is everybody on the rewards program, because it's a very digitally based rewards program.
Yeah.
And beyond just having that login profile, we've now been driving the take up and downloads of our mobile app. So we found when we didn't have the rewards program embedded in it, and you can see your policy values and what markets were doing, it wasn't enough reason for customers to download our mobile app. But building the rewards program in there and all the features that brought, and even just being able to come in and see your points balance and see how it's growing from day to day, that's brought that engagement and has given customers reason to put our Mutual's mobile app on their phone.
Yeah. So how
I
fantastic.
Think the opportunities that gives us is fantastic, yeah.
How fantastic that rewards has led that journey for the broader group. I just think that's a fantastic story. So thanks for sharing that. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So to a little bit more serious stuff, and not that digital journeys aren't serious, but I know you've had your own experiences in the Old Mutual Rewards journey around fraud. It's a hot topic that I particularly enjoy talking about. In fact, one of your team members, Willem, really raised the awareness of fraud in South Africa. And with his help, we've established a fraud discussion group with multi-branded individuals who come together to discuss loyalty fraud in a non-competitive environment. What would you say has been your biggest fraud challenge over the 5 years?
Well, I don't think it's anything unique to us specifically. The loyalty industry, I think, is one where fraud is always a pervasive issue that somebody we need to keep thinking about. And it's an interesting kind of psychology with customers, because I think there's a view that, loyalty points aren't real money. So, like, we can...
Yeah.
and you're almost incentivized to abuse them as much as possible and find out the rules of the program that work most in your favor. But definitely some groups of customers who will step over the line and get to the point of trying to actually deliberately kind of abuse the system and hack the systems and steal points if they can. And I kind of compare it to running a casino. It's like there's always somebody out there trying to defraud you. Some people are honest gamblers and others are not so honest. And you need the pit boss on the floor who's got their eye out for what's going on all the time.
Yeah.
So I think all loyalty programs need to have their pit boss who's thinking about things. And for us, sure, I think it's come in, you've got to keep your eye open to so many different lenses. The thing that we've been most attuned to is people trying to create fictitious profiles.
Yeah.
And the inventiveness around doing that is amazing sometimes. I was thinking, one of the ways we try and prevent fraud is just being aware of what's been happening in our systems, but it's also just being aware of what's happening in the market outside and the latest stories and trends. So we've been working on implementing more customer verification systems when people create accounts or try and log into their profiles. And the modern technology around these things is sort of what they call liveness verification. You've got your cell phone's camera and it scans a video of your face and it can compare you to your ID photograph and make sure that you are not just who you say you are, but you're actually not just a picture in front of a camera, but a real live person. And as soon as we thought about building this, I picked up in a story of one of the banks who was talking to their customers about, hey, beware of the latest bit of fraud. We've got people approaching people at shopping centers and telling them they've won competitions, and if they can just take a selfie of them on their phone quickly, they can give them the prize. But what the fraudster is actually doing is not taking a selfie. They're using the facial recognition features to access people's bank accounts. And it's just
terrifying.
It's amazing how inventive people are. And just staying ahead of the game is really something that needs to be done in that fraud space.
And obviously, it's not unique just to financial services. As you say, it's everywhere in loyalty. And I think you're with a partner, as you say, with COVID, you've got a lot of experience in this. So I've heard a lot of stories about how you've worked with them to tackle some of that. So thank you for sharing. I actually approached Paula today to suggest we did a podcast on fraud. So I think that's a really powerful discussion we need to have on the show. So one of the things there's two more questions about the program that you're running that I particularly personally enjoy, because I don't see a lot of other brands doing this. So the first question I've got is an observation, and then it'll become a question, it's worth sharing with the audience that you allow non-Old Mutual customers to be part of Old Mutual Rewards. And that might seem like a strange strategy, like, goodness, why would you do that? Why would you pay for the cost of running a program when there's a percentage of customers who aren't even customers of your mother brand or mutual. So what is the strategy behind that? And what has been your success factors and conversion rates and so forth?
Yeah, that was an interesting choice for us early on. And I think it's paid off really well. And that when we started, I think the traditional model in financial services rewards programs is, you got to have a bank account or a product with the organization before you can join the loyalty program. And it made us think, is that what we want to do? Do we want to do what everybody else is doing or take a different approach? And it led us to think, well, actually, anybody who has any interaction with us as a brand is a customer of ours or a potential customer of ours. So they might not have a product yet, but they might buy one down the line. So let's treat them fairly when it comes to the rewards program. I think one of the stats I remember somebody quoting was mutual sells short-term loans as one of its products. And the dynamics of the lending business is you don't necessarily lend money to everybody who asks for a loan. You turn down quite a lot of applicants. And we had about 500,000 customers that we were potentially rejecting for loans every year. And we thought, well, we're building a financial wellness rewards program. Why not allow those customers and potential customers to engage with the financial wellness aspects of what we're doing and to get motivated through the rewards points that we can offer them?
Yeah.
And if they do engage, then hopefully they turn into a future customer who can get on top of whatever debt arrears they might have had, manage their finances better, and become a much better customer for us in the future. So out of that insight, we said, yeah, let's open it to everybody who wants to join. Let's give away some value if people engage with the financial wellness activities. Let them earn rewards points and spend those rewards points. And actually feel what that value is like. And hopefully that will build a relationship with Old Mutual, hopefully turn them into better customers, and we'll see them actually become customers of ours down the line. And it was a leap of faith for us, but it's paid off quite well. And probably about 10 to 20% of the new members who join our program are not yet customers of Old Mutual, We've been quite effective at then getting those members to deepen their relationships with us over a period. So it's become a nice little acquisition channel for Old Mutual.
It's fabulous. What a great story. And I'm sure there's so many folks listening to this who run organizations like within the insurance or financial services environment, thinking like, goodness, it feels counterintuitive. It feels like, as you say, you had to take a leap of faith. But actually it makes complete sense. You've got folks applying for loans with you, getting rejected because of their potential credit scorecard, and yet they've shown an interest in your brand, so you're keeping them in the ecosystem. I loved our discussion prior to which you've just described. So in summary, it was around, you know, financial wellness allows individuals to earn rewards and then hence be engaged. And then the acquisition of them into the mutual brand is so much easier. So I really understand how that cyclical process is working for you. And I think it's a real lesson for folks listening of a different way of thinking about it.
Yeah, it's been a great journey. It was a tribute. We always talk about insurance is sold to customers and not bought. But when you found, when you're engaging these our customers around their financial well-being and giving them the insight they need, when they eventually speak to a financial advisor, they're actually well informed. They know what questions to ask. They know what solutions they're looking for. It actually makes the financial advisors, the salesperson's job a whole lot easier because they've got a well-informed, well-motivated customer in front of them. So it definitely helps, definitely works.
And they've got a customer who's already got, hopefully, a positive experience of Old Mutual. So already half the battle's won, right? So, I mean, yeah, I think the important thing as well is to recognise that last year Old Mutual Rewards was recognised by the International Loyalty Awards. You were one of the finalists. So, you know, you're not just creating waves here in South Africa. You're definitely being recognised on the international stage. So it's really great to see that. So the last question I have is that Old Mutual as a company has recently or last year announced its venture into retail banking, which is a big announcement given the, you know, as you said, the company's 180 years old. And later on in 2024, you'll also be a retail bank. So I'm sure that's a huge milestone and a huge milestone for Old Mutual Rewards, because that'll change your playing field and interaction times and, you know, ability to work with your customers on transactional behaviors as well.
Yeah, our mutual's relationship with banking has changed a lot over the years. I mean, at times we've had big strategic investments in Nedbank in South Africa, and we currently, I talked about our lending product, which is getting to the banking market, and we also run a bank account called the Old Mutual Money account on somebody else's banking license. So it's going to be exciting getting more fully into the banking game and getting our own Old Mutual branded bank operational. I'm not sure what I can say and can't say about it, but to talk generically, I think a bank is an amazing part of a loyalty program to have. So I think the opportunities it's going to present for Old Mutual Rewards are going to be fantastic. One of the nice things is it brings a whole lot of extra value, and particularly when I look around the South African market, I think the same is true globally, is the banking programs often provide some of the largest amount of value back to customers. And to add that on top of the value we're already giving is really going to make us meaningful in the lives of many of our customers. Just the technical capabilities, having a bank account and a payment capability, and what that allows us to do with partners, I think, is also going to be fantastic. Most of our partners have been what I'd call bird partners, where they earn points on the Old Mutual Rewards program based on the customer's Old Mutual product holding, but then they spend them with our partners. I think what a bank is going to allow us to do is to look at the bigger picture of where the customer is spending their money. And I hope that we'll be able to get some partners also see the opportunity in collaborating with us more deeply, so that they can use us as the mechanism to incentivize customers to use their brands. So the mechanisms that a bank can bring, I think, is going to be really interesting. It's going to bring us different ways of people's earning points, different ways of spending points. It'll bring us different insights into our customers that I think we'll be able to leverage when it comes to working on their financial wellness as well. So I'm very excited around the prospects that this new bank will offer for us in the rewards program.
Absolutely. It's super, super, super exciting. I already think there's a lot to talk about and a lot to reflect on of the success of your program so far. And now this coming in the next, well, this calendar year. So thanks for sharing that. I know there's not a lot of information out in the market, but your company, Old Mutual, has announced its venture into the market. So it'd be remiss of us to not touch on it. So I think if anyone needs to get hold of you, Brett, we suggested they could reach you on via LinkedIn. So I'll put your LinkedIn profile link in the show notes as well. So from myself, as a last question, is there anything else you feel we've missed that is burning in your brain that you want to share with everybody?
I'm sure there's lots we can talk about for hours and hours, but I think the thing I'd like to just end off by saying is, yeah, this is thanks to you and to Paula and the role that you play in the industry. I think the Let's Talk Loyalty podcast has really been an exciting one to listen to over the years, and I've learned a lot over the many episodes and different ideas that have been presented. It's really a fantastic initiative. And Amanda, to yourself, not great to see you playing a role as a host, but also the role that you play in the South African loyalty industry. I think the industry needs its leaders to help build the industry around the people who are doing jobs like me and other people who run the rewards programs. And people like yourself and Paula, I think, play a really fantastic role in helping us develop as a community. In South Africa and no doubt globally.
Great. Well,
so thank you for that.
I appreciate your kind words, and it's a pleasure. I get to work with fabulous leaders in loyalty like yourselves. So, yeah, we spend a lot of time behind the scenes, not just on Let's Talk Loyalty, talking about loyalty. So, I appreciate you being so, you run towards the industry, Brett. Not everyone does that. So, it's great that you're so willing to share everything. So, from everybody at Let's Talk Loyalty, thank you for coming back on the show. Almost 3 years later. So maybe in 3 years' time, you'll have a totally different story to share with everybody. So thank you so much, and we will chat to you again soon.
Thanks very much, Amanda, and thanks to all your listeners.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Talk Loyalty. If you'd like us to send you the latest shows each week, simply sign up for the Let's Talk Loyalty newsletter on letstalkloyalty.com, and we'll send our best episodes straight to your inbox. And don't forget that you can follow Let's Talk Loyalty on any of your favorite podcast platforms. And of course, we'd love for you to share your feedback and reviews. Thanks again for supporting the show.